scripture story this morning continues with Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 48. Hear now the word of the Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child within her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning we finish up in a sermon series we're calling Gifts That Will Not Break. It's a sermon series where we are looking at those divine Christmas presents God gives us that are never going to disappoint us. And so if you've been with us over the past month, you know we've talked about these gifts such as faith, the gift of love. We were supposed to talk about the gift of peace last week, but then our guest preacher just changed it at the last minute. But we had a plan. And this morning we come to our final gift that will not break. It's the gift of gratitude. That spirit of thankfulness. We're going to look at this gift, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, when I was 12 years old, I accidentally set my home church on fire. Now, I don't know what adult thought it was a good idea to give matches to a middle school boy, but I hold them responsible. It was the fourth Sunday of Advent. I was in sixth grade. I was asked to light the Advent wreath in our Sunday school class. And I was confident I could light all four candles with just one single match. Turns out, I was wrong. You see, I lit the first three candles without any trouble, but then I got to the fourth candle, and it had a stubborn wick. I tried lighting it from two or three different angles, but I couldn't get the candle to ignite. Eventually, I ran out of time. The match burned just a little bit too low, and I dropped it. Now, the greenery in the wreath was over a month old at that time, which meant just as soon as that match hit the leaves, it exploded into flames. My teachers panicked. One of them, thinking quickly, grabbed a metal trash can and put it atop the Advent wreath. Now, fortunately, this put out the flame, but it sent smoke billowing into the Sunday school hallway. Another teacher was worried that the smoke would set off the fire alarm. She grabbed a broomstick, she scooped up the Advent wreath, and she threw it out a second-story window. It fell down below into the parking lot, leaving a permanent char mark. That was the last time I was ever asked to light the Advent wreath at my home church. You know, we all have a vision for what the perfect Christmas will look like, and rarely does it involve open flame. We all have a plan for how we want this holiday to turn out. We want the flights to arrive on time. We want the turkey cooked to perfection. We want the weather on Christmas Day to be 65 degrees with a chance of snow. We want things to be perfect, but of course, sometimes Christmas, it isn't perfect. And those plans you have, well, sometimes they can go up in smoke. A couple weeks ago, I received a Christmas card from a college friend. He and his wife spent a small fortune at Minted.com in order to produce the perfect holiday mailing. They purchased the photo shoot, the matching PJs, the self-addressed stamped envelopes. They spent countless hours and hundreds of dollars, and in the end, this is what they ended up with. All is calm-ish and bright. You know, Mike Tyson once said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Well, sometimes Christmas, it can punch you in the face. And that perfect plan you have, well, it can quickly be burnt to a crisp. And so in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin, engaged to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. You see, Mary had a plan for what she thought her life was going to be like. She had a perfect vision for where she was going. She was going to get married, share a life together with Joseph. She was going to settle down in Nazareth and raise a family there. Everything was going according to Mary's plan. And then one day, everything changed. Who knew? Who knew those three simple words could so transform a person's life? Greetings, favored one. Gabriel told Mary that the plan she had for her life, it was no longer going to be the plan. Her simple life was no longer going to be so simple. Her straightforward life was no longer going to be so straightforward. You know, it's hard enough to raise a child. But to raise a son of God, that is another thing entirely. Notice, Mary is being asked to do the hardest thing any parent could ever dream of. She was being asked to love a child and then give it away. She was being asked to care for a child, to sacrifice for a child, and then to let him go. In fact, later on in the Gospel of Luke, the prophet Simeon even says to Mary that her son will be like a sword that will pierce her soul. Yes, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And this news from Gabriel, it was a knockout blow. Suddenly, Mary's life, well, it no longer seems so perfect anymore. Suddenly, her plans, well, they went up in smoke. You know, given the difficulty of Mary's calling, the way it was forced upon her, I don't think any one of us would have faulted her if she were just a little bit upset with Gabriel in our scripture. After all, no one likes change. We all have a vision of what we want our life to be. We don't want any deviation from that plan. You would expect this would be the moment when Mary would shake her fist at Gabriel and say to him, why did you have to go and make everything so difficult? Oh, why did you have to go and change everything? The scripture says Mary wasn't angry. She wasn't sullen about her future. Instead, it says her heart was filled with gratitude. My soul magnifies the Lord, she said. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Yes, instead of becoming bitter about what happened to her in her life, Mary still chose to be thankful. You know, I have a friend who has a poster up in his kitchen. He sees it every morning when he wakes up. The poster says, there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. And he's right. It's true. Even when life punches you in the face, even when things don't go according to your plan, there is always some reason for your soul to rejoice, because gratitude is a gift that will not break. like faith, gratitude, it's a choice that we have to make. After all, we don't always get to choose what happens to us in our life, but we do get to choose how we respond to it. Maybe that's why the great psychiatrist Viktor Frankl once said, "Everything can be taken from a man except for one thing, the last human freedom, to choose one's attitude." Yes, there is always, always, always something to be grateful for, no matter what is going on in your life. What was Mary grateful for in our scripture this morning? Why did her soul rejoice? Well, it's because even though Mary knew her life was about to become more difficult, that in fact she was still blessed. In fact, that's what she said to her cousin Elizabeth when they came together. Mary said to Elizabeth, "My soul rejoices in God my Savior. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed." You see, just because things aren't perfect in your life and just because your plans have gone up in smoke, it doesn't mean that you are any less blessed. Don't forget, God has still looked upon you with favor. So what are you grateful for this morning? Why does your soul rejoice? Or are you grateful because God is giving you another day? And today is unlike any other day you've ever experienced in your life. Is that why your spirit rejoices? Or are you grateful because God gave you the energy to get out of bed and come to a place like this to worship? Surrounded by brothers and sisters who love you and who will walk beside you no matter where you go in this life. Is that why you are so thankful today? Maybe the reason is because God has surrounded you with so many people in your life. Family and friends who have poured into you. God has made you uniquely you. God has blessed you in a way that God has never blessed anyone else before. Yes, there is always, always, always some reason to be grateful. Because God continues to bless. God continues to love. God continues to give to all of God's children, even when life gets hard. So I called a woman right after she got the diagnosis. Her voice on the other end of the line, it told me everything I needed to know. She said there's not much they can do. She said it's inoperable. They can treat the symptoms, but, well, eventually the disease will take its course. I asked her how she was handling the news. And she said, you know, it's been a whirlwind of a week. There's been a lot of emotions, to be sure. We've shed a lot of tears, but I want to tell you the amazing thing about this past week, well, it's been all of the blessings I have experienced as well. She said, you know, this morning I spent 2 hours on the phone with my brother. We haven't talked in years, and I talked to him for 2 hours today. The doctors and the nurses of this hospital, they have been so kind to me. And the church family has been unbelievable, and God has been with us every step of the way. I tell you what, David. She said, the miracles, they keep happening. Yes, I know life is not always easy. And I know that sometimes things don't go according to our plans, but I also know this. I know there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. I know that gratitude, it is a gift that will not disappoint you. It is a gift that will not break. So no matter what you're facing today, may your soul magnify the Lord. May your spirit rejoice in God, your Savior. May you never forget that He has looked upon you, yes, you, with favor. May you never forget that indeed you are blessed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we confess that so often we are blind to the ways you have blessed us, loved us, cared for us, and strengthened us. During days of joy and days of hardship, you are there for us. So God, we pray for hearts filled with your Spirit. A spirit of gratitude. May our souls always magnify your goodness. May we always be ready to lift our alleluias. For indeed you have looked upon us with your great favor. Amen.